When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back. It's the second hour of our show here, Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. For those of you watching the first hour of the program, you're like, wait a second, these guys didn't even talk about the NFC Championship. Oh, are you in luck? We got 60 minutes of that coming up here. Props, picks, daily fantasy. We got it all for you here, Davis. So let's start off. NFC Championship, let me get your broad view on this before we get into the actual players. We probably should have done that with the AFC too. The line is 7, San Francisco being favored in this game. I think the line is fair. I think that had the Packers not played as well against the 49ers, this line would be 9.5 or 10. I think the reason why it's only a touchdown, with the way that, by the way, the 49ers have played all season long, is this notion that the 49ers may not be playing their best defensive football at this stage of the NFL playoffs. Do you agree with that? Do you think that the Lions' game theory has a chance to stay in this one?
I think that more than anything else, the San Francisco 49ers would have to lose this game versus the Detroit Lions winning it. I think that if the 49ers come out and have a B-plus 49ers game, 118 rushing yards from Christian McCaffrey, the defense roughly plays to the level that they have, you know, over the last month, 2 months of the season, Purdy makes 2 mistakes instead of 4 mistakes. I think that is pretty much all she wrote for the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions passing defense, Craig, I remain stunned at how poor the Detroit Lions passing defense is, even in the middle of these playoffs. Now, the Lions passing defense is able to generate a little bit of pressure. That's kind of been their saving grace in some of these spots. We actually saw that come up in the game, both against the Rams and against the Buccaneers. But it's not as if the passing defense played well in either of those games. 319 passing yards given up to Baker Mayfield, 357 to the Rams. Nick Mullins carved them up for 359. Dak had a strong game against them. Nick Mullins actually threw for a combined 700 yards in his 2 appearances against the Lions. Like, it feels like I am like making stuff up, but that did actually happen. Nick Mullins like looked like prime, you know, Brett Favre playing against this Lions passing defense. They're not good, you know, and the offense is very good. Jahmyr Gibbs, great player. St. Brown, great player. Laporta, great player. We have the same issue. Weirdly enough, these are our 2 teams that have the same issue at quarterback, which is you don't really trust that guy. At the end of the day, foxhole, 47 seconds left. You got to drive and get a field goal to win. You know, you don't really trust either guy that much. But the cumulative talent of the 49ers, I think, is just – it's just too great. I mean, at 9.5, I'm probably taking the Lions, but at 7, 7.5, I have no choice but to take the 49ers.
Yeah, the half would be really interesting if the line did go that way. As of right now, we're not seeing that over on FanDuel. No, I think we're going to see solid 7, maybe 6.5. Who knows? Okay, so prop-wise, let's start off with probably the most important player in this game, because if Jared Goff performs just well, Davis, like, okay, the Lions have a great shot to cover this game, maybe even win. But that has been very much a question for Goff's game in particular. Whenever he goes outside that dome, it's been a different story. His passing yards prop on FanDuel is 255.5. Passing touchdowns, 1.5. The over 104. The under minus 118. His completions at 23.5. Attempts 35.5. Goff usually does throw one pick. So he's minus 134 there. The no is plus 110. So this is it, Davis. Like this is, I think, the line of demarcation in this game here. I mean, we'll go over all the other props, but if Goff plays well, Lions have a good shot. You can probably say that about every quarterback in the NFL, but the reason why I want to focus here on him is because of just the staggering home versus road splits when he takes the field.
So Jared Goff, I think, is one of those, he's sort of interesting because obviously for a long time, very unfairly maligned. Like Jared Goff is a good, above average NFL quarterback. And I think there's sort of been this reaction, though, this season to be like, oh, well, Goff was too unfairly maligned. You know, Goff had this great game against the Rams. Goff had this great game against the Minnesota Vikings when they needed those wins. Goff had these great games against the Chicago Bears. I think the issue is Jared Goff has had the same problem since he was a teenager at the University of California, which is that guy, when he gets moved in the pocket and gets moved off his spot, turns into Nathan Peterman. I mean, he basically has, in the entire NFL, the widest splits in terms of his efficiency numbers, adjusted yards per attempt, expected points added, when he is pressured and when he is not pressured. There was that I can't remember if it was against the Rams or the Vikings, but there was that stat that in a clean pocket, he was 22 of 22. He didn't miss one throw from a clean pocket. The thing is, 49ers have a pretty good pass rush. They're a little bit weaker in the secondary than they've used to be, but they have a very good pass rush, and they have a lot of experience playing against Jared Goff. I mean, Jared Goff used to be in the same division as this team that's had carryover, amongst the defensive players and the defensive coaching staff. It's hard for me to do the over on the passing touchdowns. Hard for me to do the over. The over I do like most, I think, is attempts, because obviously attempts is going to correlate very highly with the scoreline. And looking at Jared Goff's attempts, they are super sensitive to the scoreline. Like, he is so likely to go over in games that either go over the game total or games that they lose. 44 passing attempts against the Packers. He had 55 passing attempts against the Ravens. So I'm going over on the passing attempts.
All right, now let's take a look at his counterpart, Brock Purdy, here at quarterback. Now, his props a little bit on the higher side, of course. He's got some fantastic weapons, and he's been going over a lot of these, with the exception of, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. Remember, he threw like, was it against Baltimore? He threw like 5-6 picks. I forget that. 274.5 is Purdy's yards number. His passing touchdowns, clearly going to go over 1.5, minus 188. That's not really bettable. If he goes under, it's plus 152. Maybe that is. Completions at 20.5. Attempts 29.5. That's the total there. To throw an interception, plus 106. And the no is minus 130. So, 49ers can win this game, Davis, unlike Goff, without Purdy really having a great game. Because you could see Christian McCaffrey having a monster game. If Deebo Samuel does play, you could see him having a hugely impact game on this one.
You definitely could, although I think the most likely scenario would be that Purdy does need to play. Purdy needs to play at least well, I think. Maybe not good, but I do think he needs to play well. I think the way to middle that, I actually think they could definitely win a game where he goes under, but I do like, I like the completions over here. I can't decide if either of those interception lines, I mean, yes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
For an interception for a guy who has thrown as many bad passes and as many picks as Purdy has the last couple weeks is kind of intriguing, but my favorite is the over on 20.5 completions there for Purdy.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Quarterbacks up first, running backs up next. And boy, has Christian McCaffrey and Jahmyr Gibbs factored in to a lot of the outcomes of these games for their respective teams. Our look at their props is coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. The running back position in this particular game, the NFC Championship, could be won and lost with these players. There's no question that a lot of props that will be wagered on over on FanDuel, Davis, are going to be surrounding these players because they're just huge hit or miss type guys. Now, the first two we're going to talk about are big hit type guys. Christian McCaffrey, who has gone over like in a lot of his props this season, his rushing yard total over on FanDuel stands at 86.5. His receptions receiving total is 35.5. His receptions 4.5. And you know what? I got to be honest with you. At a minus 380 for an anytime touchdown, I may just take the no just for the heck of it. You know, just, you know, whatever. Put my 100 down, get my plus 350, plus 360, and go about my business. I think he's probably going to score, but there's just, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, I know that his anytime touchdown's been higher than this in games before. There's been like 400. I still can't get over how high this is.
It is. I mean, it does feel absolutely nuts for anyone's anytime touchdown prop to be this high, and to be this high in a playoff game. I mean, right, that's actually even the crazy, like, sure, a regular season game against the Commanders, like, whatever, yeah, sure, McCaffrey is going to score there a huge chunk of the time, but what, he's going to score this often in a playoff game? That feels insane. The crazy thing about the Lions, I mean, I just got done like an absolute diatribe about how poor their passing defense is, and it is that bad. Their run defense is about as good as their passing defense is bad. In the regular season, 3.7 yards per carry allowed. That was third best in the NFL. They only gave up 1,500 rushing yards on the ground, period. Like, they just absolutely smoked these teams on the ground. It's actually one of those things where you would tell their team, their defensive coordinator, like, hey, maybe let them run a little bit more so our secondary stops getting absolutely gashed, you know. But I do think that is sort of interesting there. I probably would go. I don't have a real opinion on the rushing yards. That seems priced about appropriately. I think the receptions is where I would target. I think I would do either over on the receiving yards, over on the receptions, maybe even put them in there together. You know, I can't help myself.
All right. Well, McCaffrey probably going to have a big game as long as he's healthy. Remember, we talked about that last week. And then lo and behold, on the sidelines, it looks like they were working on his leg. I was like, oh, no, I don't want this to come to fruition. Wasn't rooting for that. I just, you know, brought it up here on the show. Okay, Jahmyr Gibbs, my gosh, in fantasy football, where is this guy going to get drafted next year? I have no idea, but he's fantastic. And people have been, just been betting, Davis, on his overs constantly each and every week. And for the most part, they've been coming in. His rushing yards total is 47.5. He also can catch the ball out of the backfield. That line is set at 22.5 receiving yards. His receptions are at 3.5. He's been going over this too. And his anytime touchdown is plus 145. I mean, David Montgomery can still play, and I know that we're going to break him down coming up soon. But we gave the Lions so much crap for drafting this guy, and boy, did they know what they were doing. I guess there's a reason their GM got executive of the year this year, Davis.
Yeah, I mean, I still would have never made that decision, you know, if it was my job. So maybe that's why I would never get, you know, so maybe that's why I would never get hired there. But I do think Jahmyr Gibbs is pretty interesting in this game, mostly because it's hard for me to imagine the Lions staying roughly competitive here without Jahmyr Gibbs making a couple like relatively big plays. Now, Montgomery, sure, he's gonna keep you on schedule. He's gonna do what he does. But Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, last week he only had 13 touches, but he was able to generate 104 yards. He scored a touchdown. He's actually scored a touchdown in each of their playoff games thus far. It feels to me like if I was Ben Johnson, if I was in the coaching staff there, my plan would be to get the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs more often this week. I don't know if you win at San Francisco by handing the ball off to David Montgomery a ton. So I think the right way to play that is probably either the over on the receiving yards or the anytime touchdown. That feels like the right way to play that angle.
All right. And speaking of Montgomery, generally speaking, he's involved very early on in their game plan. And then as the game goes on, that's when Gibbs starts to get more involved. Montgomery's rushing yards prop is pretty much where it's been for the most part. It's sitting at 44.5. His receiving yards, which, you know, generally speaking, Montgomery doesn't catch the ball. It's more of Gibbs. And total yards is basically like one catch, 5.5. So if he just catches the ball, he's got a chance to go over this. And his anytime touchdown, which generally speaking, the odds have been shorter on Montgomery than they have been on Gibbs. But now we've seen a switch where Gibbs is more of the favorite to score as opposed to Montgomery, who's at plus 170.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in a way is sort of it's sort of a reading of the room as it pertains to what the Lions might do, because I think that the odds makers and the people who are betting into these lines over at the FanDuel Sportsbook are looking at this situation and they're going, what role does David Montgomery here? How does David Montgomery help them win this game? It's unlikely that they're going to be leading in this game, very unlikely that they're going to be playing downhill in this game. Although I will say some of my absolute favorite bets, just all time, any sport, I mean, mostly football, is where you just need one play for it to happen. So like in the NBA, you know, you bet the over 0.5 three-pointers made for some bench scrub or whatever. But the equivalent of that in NFL betting is the over 5.5 receiving yards, the over, you know, 1.5 receptions type guy. So I actually think Montgomery still will get some run as a pass catcher here just because of the distributions of the plays in this game. So I would take the under on his rushing yards, but I would take the over on the receiving yards.
All right, so there is Montgomery. Now, let's move over to some of the receiving options on both sides. We'll start on the side of the San Francisco 49ers, where George Kittle usually comes up in some of these big games for the 49ers, and certainly his receiving yards prop is on the higher side as to where it's been over the course of the year. So there's some expectation maybe that this is up. Now, again, if Debo plays, maybe this comes down by Sunday, Davis. I don't know. 61.5 is the receiving yards prop, followed by his receptions at 4.5. Longest reception, 23.5. And to score an anytime touchdown, look at these numbers. They're expecting Kittle to score, just plus 105.
Yeah, so this is one of the more fascinating and spots to figure out, because you kind of have to decide, what do we do with the 49ers offense without Debo Samuel? Does it mean they run more often? What if Debo plays, but he plays at 70% health, or kind of like a Mark Andrews situation? You know, he only is playing in high leverage situations. He's only out there for third downs. He's only out there in the red zone. I don't know how you feel, Craig. I've always sort of felt like we got robbed of seeing George Kittle play with the team that wants to throw the ball 39 times a game. You know, I was seeing him play with the Vikings, or, you know, just one of these teams that really likes to air it out. Playing on a team that's so conservative, runs so few plays, I just always felt like Kittle maybe could have been the best tight end in the NFL for a stretch, and we never thought of him that way because, you know, Kelsey and Andrews and Hawkinson, they were all just getting the ball more often. So in these situations, I tend to lean pretty heavily. Like, Kittle is like one of my favorite DFS plays this week. I think my best bet with him, though, is for sure over on the longest reception, over 23.5 receiving yards. That feels I mean, that just feels like free to me. Like he's gonna do that on like the first drive. It's just happening.
Kittle's had some big games in big spots for the San Francisco 49ers. All right, coming up next, boy, Brandon Ayuk, what an interesting name that he is too to talk about, because with Debo getting hurt in the game last week, a lot of people thought, wow, all my Ayuk props are going to fly over. And the only thing that flew over was the amount of arguing that Ayuk did with the other team and even with the refs. So will there be a bounce back here, or is this maybe a player we should wait on until the game goes off on Sunday night? Davis and I will break that down for you next. More Fantasy Sports Today coming up after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. So last week in the San Francisco 49ers game against the Green Bay Packers, Debo Samuel suffered an injury that looked to be serious enough where he didn't come back and play in the game last week. And those people who thought, wow, I'm sitting on this ticket with Brandon Ayuk over the receiving yards, this is going to be great for me. But Davis, what happened in that game last week? Did he not get open? Was Purdy just looking for Kittle more often? Juwan Johnson, I know, was more involved in the game. Because when you look at his props, they seem super high. Like, honestly, they seem like ridiculously high. You know, I'm kind of willing to bet that these will come down once it is official, if it is official, that Debo Samuel ends up playing. But I am still perplexed how Ayuk fell so short in arguably the biggest game of the season without his counterpart in Debo playing.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was strange as well. I sort of had the same thought that I guess that everyone else did, which is that the second that that Debo is out of this game, it just means that everything is going to kind of flow in that direction. That is not what happened. I mean, part of it was honestly Purdy really did not play that well in that game against the 49ers. They also ran a ton. They also just opted to throw the ball to Christian McCaffrey. I mean, Christian McCaffrey got 12 targets. Actually, Juwan Jennings tied Brandon Ayuk with targets and ended up going 5 for 61 in that spot. Jennings, I think, is probably like the more natural replacement for Samuel's role. So maybe the plan going into that game was that Samuel's role in that offense was going to have a larger perspective, you know, a larger chunk of that offense. I am not really that into any of these props. I think under 80 yards feels very good. 5.5 receptions, I really could see that one going either way. Don't have a hunch to bet there. But 80.5, you can just lose that in so many ways. Like Samuel plays and ends up being a big part of the offense. Samuel doesn't play, but it's all about Kittle. The 49ers blow him out. Like they're just 80.5 is really high for Brandon Ayuk. I you know, he's the deep threat in that offense. That's kind of how he was having so much fantasy success earlier in the year. And I just don't know how much they're even going to need to throw deep here. I think it's more likely they have success with Kittle and McCaffrey and just keeping it all within 10 yards of line of scrimmage.
All right. Well, look, Ayuk definitely is a guy who has exploded in the past. Maybe it happens this week, maybe not. Amon-Ra St. Brown came up huge last week for the Lions in their win over the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, a lot of sharp people, Davis, this week feel like this is one of the best bets of the week. His anytime touchdown is plus 140 going into Sunday. His longest reception sits at 23.5, receptions at 7.5, receiving yards at 85.5 for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really see any way that the Lions win this game without a minimum of, like, 8 for 90 from St. Brown. I think he's their key guy on third downs. He is always sort of that foxhole guy for Jared Goff. And I mean, about as good of a foxhole guy as you are going to get in the entire NFL. Like St. Brown is, you know, he's not Justin Jefferson. He's not Ja'Marr Chase. He's not one of these, you know, absolute freaks who wins, you know, 40 yards down the field and rips the ball away from the defender. He is always where he needs to be. He and Goff seem to have like a very good connection based off of like Goff knows when St. Brown's shoulder does this. He knows what direction he's going to. You never see like the miscommunication gripes between those two guys the way that you see between quarterbacks and wide receivers. Just always feels like they are simpatico. So I like over receiving yards, over receptions. Longest reception, anytime touchdown. I mean, again, I just seem to be more bearish overall on the Detroit Lions than the market. You know, I think it is going to be tough sledding for them in this game. And maybe I am overrating a 49ers defense that, to be fair, I mean, look, the 49ers were a great team in the regular season, but they were not the best team. You know, they got embarrassed on Christmas Day by the Baltimore Ravens. So like, maybe I need to open my mind a little bit more, but I think that, honestly, if I was Ben Johnson, a huge part of my game plan would be like screens and short stuff to St. Brown because he's so good with the ball in his hands after the catch. I would be drawing a lot of that stuff up.
Okay. Now, at tight end, the Lions have maybe the biggest surprise of the season in their rookie, Sam Laporta, came back and played last week and naturally has been a big part of the Lions' game plan, too. The tight ends have been more of a focus as well. And there are some injuries on the side of the Lions, too, in terms of their backups. But Laporta's reception is 48.5 going into the weekend. His reception's 5.5. Longest reception, 17.5. And an anytime touchdown for Laporta is plus 180. Goff does tend to focus on those two guys that we've just talked about. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta. If you want to go to a third, it may be Gibbs, actually, out of the backfield.
Yeah, you're right. And the injuries on that depth chart, I do think make me like Sam Laporta and St. Brown props even a little bit more. Josh Reynolds has a rib injury. Khalif Raymond has a knee injury and did not practice on Wednesday or on Thursday. Brock Wright, the backup tight end, is injured as well. We might even see Zach Ertz. Yes, I'm not that Zach Ertz. The Zach Ertz that you remember actually is a member of the Lions team. He's officially eligible to be on the 53-man roster. He might suit up and would end up playing behind Sam Laporta, which, you know, probably means that Laporta is going to be playing a lot, running a lot of routes, catching a lot of passes. Now, St. Brown is just like a better sort of every down player, more able to get open more often. You know, it's just a little bit easier for him than it is for a rookie tight end playing on this big stage. But one of the things I am most curious about is how do the 49ers choose to defend that? Because you could even argue that because Laporta does all of his receiving over the middle of the field where Goff has been so good, maybe you kind of just do your best to take the middle of that field away and you are, you know, you're keeping a linebacker there or you're actually having a safety play closer to the line of scrimmage and daring Jared Goff to kind of beat you over and outside the hashes. The anytime touchdown seems pretty appealing at plus 180 and longest reception. I don't have a real great feeling one way or the other about the receiving yards or the receptions, though. Those both feel about appropriate.
Okay, one more prop, and then let's get to some daily fantasy picks on DraftKings, by the way. Josh Reynolds, Mr. First Half for the Lions every week. 36.5 receiving yards, 2.5 receptions, 17.5 longest reception, plus 390, Davis. If Reynolds is a big part of the game plan, something has gone wrong, I think, for Detroit this week.
Yeah, but I mean, if he does come up with a touchdown, you know, kind of out of nowhere, I mean, you're going to be feeling pretty good about the Lions either winning or covering the spread. It's kind of like when role players contribute in playoff games, like when you get a huge performance out of one of those guys, you know, that kind of goes in that direction. I don't love any of these props, though.
All right, fair enough. Now, for those of you who are playing daily fantasy, we have not forgotten about you, but let's be honest, there's two games. One slate. This is it. So really easy from a DFS perspective to break it down. But what Davis has done is give you the players that he's going to be using in his daily fantasy lineup this weekend. So let's take a look at those. At quarterback, Davis, you have one choice or the other. Well, actually, you have four choices. Let's be honest. You have four choices this week. But you're choosing Brock Purdy at 6,400. Jahmyr Gibbs at running back, 6,400. Justice Hill, you were right about him last week. He did get more playing time at 4,800. Brandon Ayuk, 6,900. Rice, 6,500. Your shot in the dark this week is going to be Rashad Bateman at 3,600. Let's stop there. Let's go through those players as well. So the call you made on Hill last week was good. He got more playing time. I don't know that he would have necessarily if the game wasn't a blowout in the second half, but we did see some of him in the first half as well. And I guess the question that I would have for you is if we get to Sunday night, and well, I don't know if you can make that choice. Probably, let's say you get to Sunday afternoon, we find out Deebo Samuel is in. Are you still using Ayuk at that price?
No, definitely. Definitely not. We are, in fact, I would definitely make a move in this lineup. Purdy, Hill, Ayuk, Rice, Bateman, Kelce, Kittle, 49ers defense. You can either move to a cheaper defense. You can also move down from Rashee Rice to Zay Flowers, but you definitely are wanting to get Deebo Samuel in there. I think that the interesting thing is, I mean, this is going to be about as low owned as you're going to find Deebo Samuel in a slate, and it's a two-game slate. No one is going to want to play him. He's not going to project that well. You know, whatever website, whatever lineup generator you are using to set lineups, it's like Deebo is not going to, he's not going to be projected to have his full role. You know, our friends over at the FanDuel Sportsbook, I bet on Sunday, if it does come out that he's playing, his lines are going to be, you know, what, 60% of what they normally are. His anytime touchdown is going to be like plus 200 instead of plus 150. Like, it's all going to be slashed. So I love that. I do think Purdy is the best quarterback play by a good bit. I feel very good about Gibbs and Hill. Hill because of the salary, Gibbs because of the reception floor. And Kelce and Kittle, I do love the double tight end teams this week. These are actually, weirdly enough, all four of the teams that remain in the playoffs are big tight end usage teams. Maybe there's a little bit of a lesson in there, but Kelce and Kittle are both awesome plays this week. Should be a fun little two-game slate.
There you go. Defense for the 49ers, 3,300. That's Davis's pick for the defense for those of you who are playing that as well. Okay, we take a deep breath. We've gotten through it all. The fantasy, the props, the picks as well, although Davis and I will do those official picks before we do fantasy or reality coming up next. So stay with us. More FST right around the corner on this championship weekend. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, before we get to fantasy or reality, who is going to be in the Super Bowl? Are these teams going to cover the spread? Any positions we like? Davis, you and me, let's do it. Let's just take 2 minutes here just to make our final. We generally haven't done this all season long. Last year, we made picks every week here on the show. I don't know what happened. But anyway, let's start off here. AFC Championship, you can make any pick you want in the game. We have to change it up. I mean, look, let's be honest. These days, sports betting is legal all across the country, most of the country, half the country. You can do a prop. You can do a side, a total. Give me one play from this game this weekend. AFC Championship, and I'm 3.5. Let's use the line there. 3.5. You can use the total, too, if you like.
Well, I can't possibly make a pick against the spread. It's just I think the Ravens is the right pick against the spread. I'm not making it. I'm not putting that one down for myself. My favorite bet in this entire game, though, is Patrick Mahomes over on his rushing attempt props on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That one, just in general, it has been the right way to go with Mahomes in the playoffs. It's sitting there at 4.5 right now. You take the over on that. And look, kneel downs count, but more importantly, the scrambles in these high leverage spots. That is my favorite bet for Ravens Chiefs.
All right. Depending on what the line is over on FanDuel, could be 2, 1.5, 2.5. I haven't seen that. Maybe on some books. First half, Baltimore Ravens, Davis. That's my pick. First half. Look, I ain't betting against Mahomes in that fourth quarter. Seen that one before. But I do think because the Ravens came out a little bit sluggish last week, I think they're going to come out better this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't know who's going to win the game. But my pick for this show will be Ravens first half, 2, 2.5, 1.5. Whatever the line ends up being, I'm comfortable with it. I know it's not going to be 3.5 on Sunday because that's going to be the game line. So 2, 2.5 would be my pick. All right, now 49ers -7 against the Lions, Davis. Which one do you like there?
Yeah, That is 49ers for me. I think the 49ers are going to cover. I don't even know how much you're going to have to sweat that one on Sunday. And again, Lions fans, look, if I'm wrong and you guys want to come back to me next week and say, Davis, you know, you're a moron. You don't get it. You don't understand how any of this works. I'll be more than happy to eat it. And then my favorite play inside of that game is going to be the over on Jahmyr Gibbs's receptions, not receiving yards, but receptions. I just think that win, loss, in between any of those scripts, I think that we are going to need Jahmyr Gibbs to have multiple receptions for the Detroit Lions.
All right. So I will go with the over in the game, 51 or 51 and a half. Lions have just been flying over the total for months. 49ers a little bit hit or miss, I'll be honest there, but the second half of that game between Detroit and Tampa Bay, I think, tells you the story. I don't think the Lions can stop anybody in the NFL, but they can score. And I think they're going to go for two a lot, Davis. I think that they're going to take some serious chances in this game because that's just the way they've been playing it all year long. And I think we'll be back here next week talking about, oh, Dan Campbell, what a genius for going for it. Or we'll be talking about, oh, Dan Campbell, what an idiot for going for two. I think one of those things is going to happen in this game. So I will take the over. I think both teams score enough to get this over the 51 or 51 and a half, depending on where you're playing it. Okay, now it's time for us to play a little true or false. But instead of playing it that way, we play a game of fantasy or reality. All right, Davis. Well, here it comes down to the end of the season. The NFL MVP has already been determined. We just don't know who the Super Bowl MVP is going to be. We also don't know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. But if you're going to bet on the MVP of that game, probably a good idea to do that now because you can get some good odds on some of these players. Christian McCaffrey maybe would be one of them. He's plus 650 over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's our fantasy reality to start our day. Fantasy or reality, Christian McCaffrey will win the Super Bowl MVP and cash that plus 650 ticket. If you bet $100, you win $650. That is math. I'm not good at it, but that's the line. Fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I got fantasy on this one. And I speak from real personal experience on this, which is that the voters love to give this award. Two people win this award, the quarterback of the winning team or a defensive player or wide receiver who makes like a really unbelievable play. You know, like that's just kind of been the guys who win Super Bowl MVP. I know this because I had a Damian Williams ticket in 2020 or 2019, and Damian Williams had 150 scrimmage yards and two touchdowns, including the game-winning play where he broke off on a second eight against the 49ers. And guess what? He didn't win. He didn't win Super Bowl MVP. Mahomes won the Super Bowl MVP because that's who everyone wanted to win the Super Bowl MVP. So maybe McCaffrey can win it, but plus 650 is not a fair price. You need to be getting like 10, 15 to 1 because people are just going to want Purdy to get it. So I got fantasy here.
I got fantasy too. I mean, Davis, historically speaking, it's a quarterback. So where's your value? Goff, maybe, you know? I don't know. I mean, I got to find a quarterback that's unlikely to make a bet like that right now. That's what I would have to do. He's 12 to 1. So to me, that would be the way to go. And by the way, if Detroit wins the Super Bowl, come on, no one else is winning that MVP. They're giving that thing to Goff. So I'll say fantasy, running back ain't winning this. McCaffrey would have to win the Super Bowl, rush for 100 yards, score like three times. I love this guy, but that's not happening. I got fantasy. Okay, the star of the fantasy football season that was an unknown to start the year. Unknown, that's maybe a little too strong. Let me rephrase that. Unheralded. People didn't love Kyren Williams going into the year. They may have once upon a time loved Cam Akers on his own team, but Kyren Williams ended up winning fantasy football leagues for people on the Rams. And let's be real, there's not a lot of competition for him there. Matthew Stafford is going to be a year older next year. Cooper Kupp, will he even be back, Davis? I'm not sure. I guess you'll have to tell me on that. You know, Nakua is great. But a lot of people think, Davis, the Rams were the team this year that overachieved a little that could take a step back next year. So how does that affect the running back position? Kyren Williams, fantasy or reality, will eclipse 1,800 rushing yards in 2024. Is this fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I mean, this might be the easiest fantasy in the history of fantasy or reality. So there was one player that ran for more than 1,200 yards this year. There were only 12 players who ran for over 1,000 yards, period. People just don't run. We just don't really have 1,000-yard rushers anymore. Running backs need to catch the ball more out of the backfield. Now, maybe we could say 1,800 scrimmage yards total in terms of rushing. I mean, maybe he would get – I mean, he had 1,400 scrimmage yards in 12 games this year, so, like, it's kind of within reach. I think ultimately what is going to happen to Kyren Williams, though, it's the same thing that happened to Philip Lindsay and Arian Foster and Alfred Morris and all, you know, every running back you could ever name who took advantage of a bad depth chart and absolutely crushed for a year. You know, he's a fine player, but they're going to sign some guy in free agency and take a guy in the fifth round of the draft. And by week five, Kyren Williams is going to be getting 13.5 rushes per game and 4 targets or something. Like, it's just not going to be the same workload. I got fantasy here on 1,800 rushing yards.
All right. Yeah, fantasy for me too. Sam, I think you said a bunch of fantasies here today, man. I'm looking at this here. A lot of fantasy on fantasy reality, but I think that's where we're at. 1,800 rushing yards. Come on, man. There's no way I would take 1,500. I may have gone fantasy too. All right, here's our third question. People are watching. They're like, why is Craig saying this? Well, fantasy or reality, Dave, is Jim Harbaugh, okay? He's going to coach the Chargers next season. And our fantasy reality question is Jim Harbaugh gets 12 wins in his first season as Los Angeles Chargers head coach. Fantasy or reality?
God, I mean, come on. The Chiefs didn't even win 12 games this last year.
Sam, what are you doing?
Yeah, Sam. I know Sam. Sam is you know, putting out fires and doing whatever he needs to do around here. But I think obviously this is a fantasy, but he is pointing at something instructive. You know, it's like, it's Craig, it's our job. We do sports talk. We got to talk about sports. He is pointing at something, which is, people do think that Jim Harbaugh can basically turn water into wine. You know, he just won the college football championship. Everyone remembers his 49ers being so good. But as you and I both said at the start of the show, we are not that sure that Harbaugh is going to come in and have this being, you know, a tip-top operation. The Chargers owner, famously very cheap. The Chargers have no fans. The Chargers, they do have the quarterback. I would ask you, what else do they have? You know, they have some of the worst contracts in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball. You know, their star players are injured all the time. Like Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, these dudes never finish a season. I think it is more of a road, very similar to Sean Payton, actually. You know, Sean Payton comes in, oh, he's going to whip everyone in shape. They're winning the division. Like, no, dude, it takes a little bit of time for a guy to imprint on the roster. It's not there yet.
Yeah. Well, what would you say their season win total will be going into next year?
9.5. 9.5 will be their total about that.
So which way do you think I'm going here?
Maybe you're the world's biggest Harbaugh believer. Maybe you changed your mind the last 90 minutes.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going fantasy. You know what I want to do? I want to bet on the SamDuel sportsbook. Sam, come on, man. You got to make a sportsbook here.
Minus 130 lines.
12 wins? Come on, man. All right, I don't know. let's do one more. We're going to get no reality here at all. All right, the Oakland Athletics. You know what's interesting is I think the win totals are out on FanDuel and DraftKings for baseball. I did look and see some of those. I think Oakland's is 56. I think it's 56, if I'm not mistaken. 57.5. Okay, 57.5. Thank you, Sam. All right, so this one, maybe we're closer at least here. We got a debate going here. The Oakland Athletics, they've signed like 2 free agents for like $5 million. They're moving to Las Vegas. They got nowhere to play for the next 2 years. Fantasy reality, the A's will lose 110 games in 2024. Is this fantasy or reality, Davis? This is at least closer. We could debate this.
Oh, I'm going reality. This team stinks, and they got worse, man. This team absolutely stinks, and they've done nothing to improve themselves. Their top player in WAR last year, 2.6 wins above replacement. I mean, just like unbelievable stuff. I got reality. They're losing.
How many games do you think they'll win?
I don't know. 50? Yeah, 50 probably.
Wow. I will also go fantasy on this one, too.
No, I went reality. I went reality.
I know. Oh, easier okay, for you than me. Saying. Yeah, you're bailing Sam out here. I'm not going to do that. I'm not bailing him out. Yeah, I will say they will lose over 100, between 100 and 105. And that's a horrible year for them. But generally speaking, teams don't lose this many games back-to-back seasons. Okay, we got to take a quick timeout. We got the Sports Grid 60 up next. Here on FST.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Before we leave you here off to this beautiful weekend, championship weekend here on Sports Grid, it's time for us to give you one final thought, 60 minutes apiece, seconds, 60 seconds apiece. Here's Davis in today's Sports Grid 60.
You know, we went through the entirety of this show, and it was basically very complimentary to the Baltimore Ravens, not that complimentary to some of the tertiary pieces of the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, Craig, it is one of those interesting things where, you know, obviously this is my job to objectively talk about professional sports and, you know, wagering on what the outcome is going to be. I got to be honest, it's kind of nice to have a blind spot. Baseball, basketball, a lot of these things, I can remain objective and clear. Very hard for me to remain objective about Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I will leave the Sports Grid 60 with this. Patrick Mahomes, at 28 years old, has now played in more conference championships than Peyton Manning, the Hall of Fame Peyton Manning. More conference championships than Peyton Manning. How about that?
Big debate going on this week after seeing how many people stream that game on Peacock between the Dolphins and Chiefs when we would see the next big game streamed. Will the Super Bowl be only streamed in the next 5 or 10 years? As crazy as that sounds, let's say the answer is no. Okay, let's say no, it's going to be on national TV, no streaming. I'm here to tell you. AFC Championship, NFC Championship, folks, enjoy it now on TV, because I am telling you it's coming. One of these two games in the next 5 years, in my opinion, is going to be streamed on an app only. Eventually, we're going to get the Super Bowl. I know everyone thinks that's crazy. It doesn't sound realistic. After what we saw, they're willing to do it in the divisional round, wild card round. It's coming to the championship round in the next 5 years. My bold prediction as we end this edition of Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks again to our producer, Sam. For Davis, I'm Craig. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll see you next week.